So it covers a great range. And this week, we're going to do a little bit of a series in November, and then we're going to do an Advent series as well. I was praying, thinking, gradually getting more and more nervous as the week went on about where I should be speaking this morning. And it was a song that I was singing and thinking about. And it had the phrase, "Magnify the Lord," in it. And so I looked in the NIV, and the NIV doesn't have magnify, it has glorify. And I looked all the way through the different translations until I got to the one that I carry in this little grey book, which is a bit more academic. And that kept the word magnify. And I thought, why is this that the word magnify has been dropped? And then I had another look and found that even in this translation, the word magnify only occurs twice. Now, go figure. I sort of assumed magnify the Lord was going to pop up every other psalm. I expected that glorify would pop up every other psalm. But those words don't. But they are words that sort of fix in their minds. But I couldn't get away from magnify, so I looked up and checked. And yes, the word is make great. Okay? And it occurs twice. Now, can most of you, tell me at least one of the verses in which in which magnify occurs? Okay, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. It is one of those where it's got this Hebrew word about make great. And there's another one, which was the one I found first of all, the one I referenced, that I wasn't particularly familiar with. And it's this, I will praise the Lord with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Now, guys, the first verse, certainly, we've all come across at one time or another. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. When you say magnify, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? Once again, no wrong answers. Sorry?
In modern parlance or street talk, I say big him up.
Yeah. Big him up. Make him bigger. That's really smart. So you should have been the last person to answer the question. Yeah. Did you hear that? Examine in detail what's already there. Is there? But anyway, have any of us peasants got other suggestions? What do you think of? It's like Roy says about the thing that comes to mind is make great. And even in the commentaries, they say, of course, this is ridiculous. Okay? You can't make God great. Because he already is. And I've been thinking about this. Is there more to it than give glory to, ascribe greatness, those sort of things when it says magnify? And if you'll excuse me this morning, I just want to pick up a possible way of looking at this and say that it is really something that I think I need, and that is to get a bigger view of God. Okay? To get a bigger view of God. Sometimes we need to get a smaller view of God, okay, that focuses in on where we are. But getting a bigger view of God is something that is that has quite an impact on us. Look and see in detail what's already there. Now, I'm going to give you a chance to think about what that may mean. And I got myself in a bit of a pickle while Carol was doing breaking of bread, because listening to what she said, it really threw me. When we got to sharing the cup, okay, she said about healing for yourself, and I'd already got stuck on forgiveness because I was already on my second sheet of A4 by the time that we'd got to that. Who do you need to forgive? And of course, you think it, start to get into that, and it's surprising things that God brings to mind that you hadn't thought of, because you go, done that. Oh, something else that niggles or is a problem. Somebody cheated you, done you over, whatever, suddenly emerges. But then she went on to say about healing, and talked about healing for yourself and then emotional healing for yourself. And of course, that's fairly routine, isn't it, as we come to the Lord's Supper. But then she talked about family members and situations outside yourself and big issues in the world. And I'm sure, because I find with things like this that nobody else thinks the way that I do, I was thinking, hang on for a minute, this is about me, okay? The Lord's Supper's about me. It's not, that's all I can cope with. But suddenly whirling into that and thinking, oh, wow, when we come to break bread together, when we come to celebrate his death, when we come to celebrate his life, it pushes out to affect so many other things around us. The let's just do this again another way. You know the song which has become a school song, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands"? Yeah? That's one of those songs which actually comes down, doesn't it? Gradually funnels down. He's got everybody here. He's got you and me, brother. He's got the wee tiny baby in his hands. And sometimes I think in our prayers, in our praise, it's easy, particularly within the kind of tradition which we worship, to focus on me, mine, my experience. We get there. But God is so big. And actually recognizing that is something that's quite significant. So my question number two, the first one was, what do you think it means? Question number two is this: what are the benefits of paying a, say what you said again, can you sue for us? Yeah, closely examining that which is everybody there, getting a wider view of God. What's the benefits of doing that? What do you think?
Well, it reassures us that he's able to help us.
Yeah. So I think actually looking wider, it helps us if our circumstances change as well. Lord, I knew you could heal bodies. I didn't know you could do things for freezers. And then sometimes you'll have an experience where last time I prayed for the freezer and it started again. Next time I pray for the washing machine and it doesn't start again. Have you got a view of God that can handle that? Look, guys, I really want to be careful about playing around with somebody's really bad experiences at the moment, but story you need to know, because we need to pray, see what God will give us faith for. You remember Ness Wilson, who leads the network, Needs Pioneer Network? She spoke on screen when David was being when we were inducted, David, to Run Open Blue. Now, Ness, if you remember, lost a little boy within a few days of his being born. She has two daughters, Sue, yeah, and, pardon? Yeah. Yeah, okay, let's, yeah. She has two daughters, and when we were doing the session, when we were having Pioneer Day, at that weekend, one of her daughters had been rushed in for an operation. When she'd been three, she had had cancer, and now it had recurred, and she had to go in for an operation. We got a letter on Friday afternoon to say, from a member of the Pioneer team, to say that it's Laura, isn't it, her name, I think? Well, Lauren, yeah. Has had scans, and they've come back with a diagnosis to say that she's only got 3 months left. Now, you focus in, little girl of 18 months, cleared from cancer. Such great news. You then look 11 years later or so and see her go for another successful operation. And then a few months later, the news is bad. Somehow, when we magnify the Lord, we begin to be able to accommodate all of those different things. And we accommodate those different things without saying, God wanted Lauren to get cancer. We accommodate by understanding that God still loves and he still cares. You know, when we don't focus on healing, when we don't come down to the detail, we don't give chance for God to have the glory, because sometimes he heals. When we don't focus on the wider picture of God being utterly loving, utterly steadfast, utterly in control, we can't cope with the times where things don't happen. And a lot of our lives demand that expansion. And I found myself thinking this morning, what will it be for Ness and Rich, both of whom run Christian organisations? Rich Wilson, I think, still runs Fusion, the university's network. If they're together in a meeting where they are sharing the Lord's Supper and people are talking about healing, how do you get the wider picture? And of course, it doesn't really cut mustard. It doesn't really make sense when we get to the point that we say, oh, well, of course, they were healed but not cured. That seems to me to be playing with words. But somehow our picture has got to expand. We've got to examine in detail. Or I say we've got to, but we're going to have a miserable life if we don't. That's what I mean. That encompasses all of what God's doing. So we think of Mike this morning. It is Mike and not Mick, isn't it? Karen's dad. We think of Tony, who's in hospital at the moment, has had at least a little stroke. And we bring those guys and we believe for healing, but over and beyond that, we are not shaken because we're taking a wider view of God. We are magnifying God, seeing how it works and where it goes. Now, if you think, okay, Dave, we've got it, you're repeating yourself, you're dead right. You know, that's all really that I've got to say. Just watch it. Because if we get specific, so specific, keep going down to the detail. What is there here for me today? What is my word for the day? Right? Rather than thinking of what is his word for every day and for all people at all times, we're going to miss a lot of what God's got going. Third question. How does it happen? How do we magnify the Lord? Three things that come out in the text. I'll tell you the two verses again. Now, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So that's Psalm 43:3. Psalm 69:30 says, I will praise the Lord with a song. I will magnify with thanksgiving. Let's go through in no particular order the things as they occur. There's exalting his name. Okay? The attributes of God. What is God like? There are some people who find it helpful to recite, you know, the Jehovah, El Shaddai, Jehovah this, Jehovah that, you know, going through the list. And that is helpful as long as you actually know what they mean or you meditate on what they mean, because some of them nobody's sure of quite what they mean, but they might mean some good things here or some good things there. So actually objectively saying who God is and what he's like is number one. God, you are my portion. God's continuing to bless us in all sorts of ways. Actually, I can remember now where this came from, where the word came from this week. But during the week, there was a point at which I said to David, I need to know how much our income has dropped from this time last year. And in fact, it's dropped by about 20%, which is pretty drastic. You just imagine if your income was cut by 20%. It's pretty drastic, but lots and lots of churches is dropped by half over the period. We're going to need to see money come in, or we're going to have to drastically cut some costs. But I started to worry. But then this verse, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Because when I've got it on a yellow post-it in front of me, the income has fallen from there to there, I have an option of getting into my head and thinking, okay, well, what can we cut? What are we going to do? What do we need to, you know, to talk about? How do we need to get thinking about this? Or I can magnify the Lord. Now, sometimes you have to do both, okay? But it is much easier to get the old head going than the new spirit going with something like that. So thinking about God, my provider. Lord, you are provider, my provider. Lord, you are our provider. You have never left us in the lurch yet. You have promised that you will supply all our needs. Okay? Exalting the Lord, talking about how good he is and where he is. And then I go on to think, but what about all these other churches? What about around the world? What's happening to the guys in India at the moment? If their income has dried up, if they can't get any work at all. And you start to think and to pray and you put your own needs in context. Second thing, so let us exalt his name. What's the next word? Together. Doing it together is pretty significant. Now, when we get to feel frightened, when we get to feel anxious, most of us retreat. Okay? I would say universally, all men retreat. Okay? That may be a sexist statement, but the evidence seems to be true on the basis of my behavior. Right? I have a problem. I will pray. I would like you to pray with me that my problem will be solved after I've solved it. Yeah? because it just rattles me to be out of control, not to be able to talk. And actually, there are a lot of women who are the same as well. The only difference between men and women is that women are more likely to tell lies about it, I think. Because we all at times find ourselves not wanting to expose where we are because it's too painful. Yeah? I don't know what sort of person you are, whether you're somebody who is open because the stereotypes don't really work, do they? But somebody who finds it easier to get into issues, easier to do stuff on their own, easier even to magnify God and glorify Him when they're on their own. But the scripture says, do it together. And I bet there are a lot more references to doing, worshipping God, praising Him together than there are actually even to magnifying Him. So, get together. So, we magnify the Lord by exalting His name, we do it together. And the next thing is, I will praise the Lord with a song. I'm not going to go on about this too much, but watch your songs, guys. If your songs are ones which, either experientially or content-wise, just draw you inwards, you know? All of us have a set of songs that make us feel better. That's okay, that's good. They're words, good words, good stuff from God. They make us feel better, so we go with them. But having songs that are just focused on God, right, helps us anticipate other situations. It moves us out beyond where we are. It concentrates our minds on the big stuff, that God is in control. When's the last time you said to God, Lord, you were not surprised by the pandemic? When's the last time you said, as Dawn and I have both been doing recently, Lord, you knew that it wasn't going to be possible to get a proper holiday? Yeah? And pushing it back to God. You do it for me, Dawn, I'll do it for you. And you can tell me when you get into a bad place about it. I'll tell you, I have been and am about holidays. It's one of those things that bugs me a lot. I will praise the Lord with a song. What songs do you know? What songs have you learned off heart? There's something wrong with that sentence. So that if you wake up during the night, you can sing them to the Lord, rather than just pulling out the two or three or the few that you connect with. And then, of course, I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. We were doing some of that this morning, weren't we? What have we got to thank God for? How do you do that? How do you thank God for things? How are you continuously referencing the good things that God has done? Of course, we do it by giving testimony, as Carol arranged this morning, the good stuff. You know, because when John talked about that, I remember when God healed our keyboard years ago. I remember when God healed the washing machine when it was written off and we couldn't afford to pay for it. And it makes me think, God, just stir faith in all those people who are looking at broken down cars or broken down bicycles or empty larders that you can miraculously supply.